Hi, this is Pastor Wayne Cordero, and on behalf of the students and faculty of New Hope Christian College, I want to personally invite you to join us for Christmas on the Hill. That's right, it's happening Friday, November 30th at 7 p.m. in our chapel right here on the campus in Eugene, just above Churchill High School. The program will feature old and new holiday favorites presented by our fabulous creative arts students and staff. Now, seating is limited, and admission is only a suggested $5 donation. So come, join us for Christmas on the Hill, a new holiday tradition at New Hope Christian College. For more information, you can go to newhope.edu. Come and enjoy Christmas on the Hill.
From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
He said to his son, "You told me you were over here and you were over here smoking marijuana and you were stealing stuff from my wallet to get that stuff. The drug has made you a liar. You're a liar." Just then the phone rings and his wife says, "Honey, it's for you." And he says, "Tell him I'm not home. I'm busy. You're a liar." I ask you, who made that boy a liar? Because you see, if you think about it, our kids don't rebel against authority, they rebel against inconsistent authority.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Have you ever heard the old saying, "Do as I say, not as I do"? Well, when it comes to raising kids, it doesn't work that way. At home, on the job, wherever you are, people want to see someone who is genuine, someone who is real. Pastor Wayne says there's nothing worse than a person who says one thing and does another. Here he is with a message entitled, "Making Things Right."
Hey, let's turn in our notes. Would you take out our notes? Making things right. Making things right. You know, I believe that we're on the cusp of a new season here at New Hope. And how many of you need God to answer a few more prayers? Raise your hand. Yeah, me too. Because there's a whole bunch of stuff that I want to see done, and I know God does too. But there's something that happens when you have prayers that are answered. You know what happens? Problems come attached to it. Maintenance issues. Because that's just how it is. You pray for something, and then now you got to maintain it because God gives it to you. And now what? Now you got to maintain it. And that's exactly what happened in the early church. Why, they were praying for their uncles and their aunties and their cousins to have their lives change and God redeemed them. And they did. And so it says that the number of the disciples began to grow. But when you have more people, you have more problems. Now, God is looking for those who will not just be problem spotters, but problem solvers. Let's read what we find here in Acts chapter 6, what was taking place. Let's read it at the top of our notes. Go. When the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose. Why? Because their widows were being overlooked. And the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "Select from among you, brethren, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of the task." And the result? The word of God kept. Yeah, you know, they prayed for increase, but the increase came with extras, problems. That's a common denominator of all answered prayers. Problems. We see that all around us. A mother will pray, "God, I just want to be a mother. Give me kids." And all of a sudden, boop, 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 boop. Not that many. Not that many. I can't stand these kids. Don't have any time to myself anymore. It's interesting. God answers prayer. And then we have a heart to, "God, give me a husband. Just give me a husband." Then he gives you one. "Lord, could I have a different one?" Just a different one. "Lord, give me a raise. Lord, give me some money. Lord, give me a raise." He does. Man, do you know how much taxes I had to pay this year? It's amazing how it happens. It happens all around us. We pray for our family to come to church. Pray for my uncle. My kid's on drugs. God, do something in his life. My neighbor's on drugs. Oh, man, they're having domestic abuse. And we all pray. And you know what God does? He starts answering all our prayers. They all start coming to church. And then as God answers prayers, we drive in the parking lot and go, "This stupid church is so crowded. So crowded here. I'm not coming to this church anymore. It's so hard to get parking here. Terrible. Terrible. Man, these ushers, these people organize this. They're so disorganized." And we just start complaining. It's almost like God is saying, "Well, you know, every time I answer your prayers, you complain." It's So you know what? I don't think I'm going to answer prayers anymore because it's turning you into mutated people. It happened with me. My son Aaron, when he was in junior high, he was into rollerblades and skateboarding, and they would do these half pipe things and do acrobatics and stuff, and I would just never see him. He'd go to his friend's house all day, stay the night. The only time I saw him when I'd get a 911 call to take him to the emergency because he got hurt, and then he'd want to go back to his friend's house to recuperate. And I thought, oh man, I got to get my kid home a little bit more. So I prayed and I said, Lord, what do I do? And I just really felt the Lord say, build him a half pipe in your backyard. So I thought, all right. So God answered my prayer. I built this huge half pipe in our yard, and it's just huge. And God answered prayers. I mean, he answered it so well that not only did Aaron stay in our backyard, but every other junior high kid on the Big Island was in the backyard. We'd have dozens and dozens. They'd skate till evening, and then they'd spend the night. Sometimes I'd get up in the morning, open the door to the living room, and it looked like our house was a homeless shelter. I'd start complaining, God, I got to feed all these kids. Good night, Lord. Get these kids out of here. And then I thought, you know, we pray, God answers, we gripe. We pray, God answers, we complain. And I thought, the same thing was happening in the early church. People were coming to the Lord in numbers, and when you have an extra amount of people, you're going to have an extra amount of problems. And so they complained to the leader. You know what the leader said? Nah, select from among you people that have three qualities. People of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom. What we need are those who will be problem solvers, those who will make things right. Because watch this. If this is the answer to prayer, often we're on this side saying, God, come on, God, come on, I want this and I want that. He answers it, and then we turn into complaints. And what God is saying, I need people on this side who will be those who are making things right. Because if they will see the maintenance issues and the situations that come with answered prayer, but instead of complaining, they will move in to make things right. This is what God says, I will be delighted now to answer more prayers. But if there's a draft of these, there's a dearth of these, if there's an absence of people making things right, why should I keep answering prayer? So I need to build a cadre of people here. Because it's so easy for us to be problem spotters when we see things going wrong. Crowds, parking problems, this or that. You know, we are all great problem spotters. We're great at being blame game champions. We're great at being complaint experts and excuse artists. We're good at that. In fact, I was looking at these insurance claims, and these are true, actual insurance claims as to the explanation to why a person got in an accident in order to gain their insurance. Look at how we're just great at being complaint artists. Here's the first. This is reason why he said the accident took place. And I read verbatim. The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I could hit him. The next one is great. The pedestrian had no idea which direction to go, so I ran over him. And this one you gotta think, this next one. Coming home, I drove into the wrong house and collided with a tree I don't even have. Here's an interesting one. I pulled away from the curb, glanced at my mother-in-law, and immediately ran into the embankment. But this is my favorite one here. The accident happened because I had one eye on the truck in front of me and one eye on the pedestrian and the other eye on the car behind me. Got three eyeballs just looking around here. But we're all just excuse artists, aren't we? And we're so good. I got this joke I got to tell you. It's a Portuguese joke. Is that all right? All right. These two guys, they were just wanting to get out of work. You know, they just want to find an excuse to get out of work. And so they were talking, well, how are we going to get out of work? I don't know, man. This job is too hot. I want you to get out of work today. I just want to go home. And so one guy, Portuguese guy, crawls up, hangs upside down on the rafters. Hanging from the rafter, and the boss comes in and he goes, man, oh, what are you doing? He said, I'm a light bulb. And the boss says, you better go home. Something's wrong with you, brother. You better go home. And so he gets down, he kind of winks at his friend, then walks out. And his friend picks up his lunch pail and starts following after him. And the boss says, hey, where are you going? Where are you going? He said, oh, I cannot work without light. We're excuse artists. We're so good at being problem spotters. But what God is saying, I want people who will be those who are problem solvers, so that when I answer prayers, because the common denominator is when you get prayers answered, whether it be in relationships, spouses, kids, finance, whatever, it's going to come with maintenance issues. It's going to come with some built-in problems. But if we complain, then God is saying, why should I keep answering your prayers when we complain because of it? But if we will have people who are making things right on the other side and kind of getting everybody on the same page so that everything is okay, then the Lord says, you know what? Now I think I can continue to answer prayers because you're stewarding the answers well. There's a maturity there, and I'll be happy to answer yet more so that there's an increase. You understand? And God wants to answer prayers in your marriage, in your family, at your job, with people that have problems that come to you. If we will be people making things right, you'll be surprised how God will just be delighted to answer prayer after prayer after prayer. Well, you say, well, what are the tools to be one of these people who are problem solvers? What are some of the tools to be those who are making things right? Well, let me give you three that's mentioned right here in the book of Acts chapter 6, and they're very, very good and very succinct. The first is this. He says, choose from among you, not hired guns, not therapists, as wonderful as they are. Choose from among you, which means we need to be those who are making things right. He's looking at us so that he can answer prayers, and we are the ones who will be problem solvers. Well, what are the three tools? The first is this. Choose 7 men from among you, of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of the task. And the result? So the word of God kept spreading. What were those three things? The first was a good reputation. The second was full of the Spirit, third of wisdom. But what does that mean, each one of those? Let's look at them. The first is people with a good reputation. What does that mean? Would you write in your notes, number one, a genuine reputation. Would you write that in? A genuine reputation. Something that's authentic. Something that's consistent. In fact, the Lord says, your track record of who you're known for. Oh, not some glitches where we make mistakes, but the pattern of your life, the track record of your life, the history of your life needs to be seen by others as something good. He's not talking about being a people pleaser. He's talking about the tilt of my heart, the bent of my heart. People can say, that guy's pretty consistent. In fact, that kind of name is so important. God says that is more important, that is more precious than money. He just gives a great value to that. And what is? Where does he say that? Let's read in Proverbs 22 and verse 1. Go. A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. He's saying that track record is absolutely critical and it's so valuable. Well, you say, well, what is this good reputation stuff? And he gives us a wonderful definition, a great application for it. And it's in the next verse here. Let's read 1 Timothy 3:7. Go. And a leader must have a good reputation with those outside the church. You know what he's saying? Real simple. That we are to have a good testimony, not just in church, but with those outside the church. In other words, who you are at church needs to be who you are at home and who you are at work. The kind of faith you have here, the patience you have here, you're just hospitable here, the same. To have a good reputation or a genuine testimony, a consistent life that you live what you believe, not only here in church, but at home and at work. Just about a year or so ago, there was a dad out there, and he was talking to his friends, and I was just watching him at a distance. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, yeah, God bless you. Yeah, praise the Lord. And his kid was pulling on his pants. Yeah, yeah, shh, yeah, yeah, praise the Lord. And his kid kept tugging on. Yeah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then he turned to his kid, and he said, get in the car. You're dead. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord, yeah. I thought, man, I don't want to see that guy at home. Because And I thought, you know, we want to be the same here, the same at home, the same at the office. And there begins to be a consistency. Because you see, if you think about it, our kids don't rebel against authority. They rebel against inconsistent authority. It's not authority that they struggle with. It's inconsistent authority. Story I tell of the father who found out that his son was smoking Pacololo, and his son was kind of lying to him. And when he found out, he was so mad. He said to his son, you told me you were over here and you were over here smoking marijuana and you were stealing stuff from my wallet to get that stuff. The drug has made you a liar. You're a liar. Just then the phone rings and his wife says, honey, it's for you. And he says, tell him I'm not home. I'm busy. You're a liar. What's the matter? I ask you, who made that boy a liar? The inconsistency of those who would be models for him and examples. Kids don't rebel against authority, they rebel against inconsistent authority. And that's why if we're going to be those who are making things right, there needs to be a genuine or a good reputation of consistency that who we are here is who we are out there and who we are at our job. And there's a consistency of life so that people can trust in you, believe in you, recognize you, depend on you. Even God needs to just be able to depend on you, recognize you, that who you are. We don't have this kind of like chameleon mentality where when we're with this color, we turn. And then when we're with another color, we turn to that color. And then we change to this color and change to that. Pretty soon, nobody recognizes you. Even heaven doesn't recognize you. Story is told of a lady that got into an accident. She was on the table and she was dying. And, you know, she kind of goes up towards heaven. And when she gets before Peter, Peter looks at his list and said, whoa, wait a minute. Your name's not on here. You're not supposed to die. She said, well, I was dying. No, you're not going to die. Go back. Really? Yep. I'm not going to die. Nope. So she goes back and she figures, wow, since I'm not going to die and I'm already in the hospital, she said, I might as well get a facelift, tummy tuck, liposuction. She just had all kinds of nice things done. Well, after she healed up, man, she was just babe. She was walking out of the hospital. Boom, she gets hit by a car. She dies. She goes in front of St. Peter. Peter, she said, I thought you said I wasn't going to die. He said, what's your name? She told him her name. He said, oh, man, you look so different. Even we didn't recognize you. So you better have heaven recognize you. Otherwise, we're in trouble. But sometimes we just change color here and change color there. And the Lord is saying, if you're going to be a problem solver, who you are here needs to be who you are at home. With your spouse, with your kids, to take your faith from here and take it back home. Take it to the job, that there's a same, there's a consistency, and then you'll be known as a person with a good or a genuine reputation, because that's the first tool to have in your tool bag in order to fix problems when God is answering prayer. He'll give you a great sense of insight and depth, and you'll be one who is known as a person making things right. The second character quality that we find here is not only those who have a good reputation, but it says those who are full of the Spirit. And what does that mean? Would you write down in number two, people whose actions are guided by the Spirit of God. Whose actions are guided, not by our spirit, but His Spirit. Let's read Romans 8:14. Go. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are children of God. And let's read the next one. He made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives. You know what he's saying? You can take something of the letter of the law and you can make sure someone is corrected. So even though you're right, if your spirit is wrong, the spirit with which you carry out that correction. You can be right, but you can be completely wrong. You can have the letter down, but the letter alone kills. It's the spirit that you do what you do will either bring life or death. It's up to you. It's the spirit that you do what you do. It's the spirit with which you speak. Because you can try to make things right, but with the wrong spirit, and everything goes wrong. Your spirit that you carry with you, you know, there's people that have such a good spirit. When they come into a room, it kind of lights up. And even when they have to make some corrections and change this and move this around, nobody is offended because not that they made things right, but they made it right with the right spirit. Others can do the very same thing and make corrections, and everybody is just slaughtered because of a wrong spirit with which they made things right. And what God is saying is if you're going to be someone who makes things right so that God can continue answering prayers and people begin to gather, we've got to be filled with His Spirit, or the Spirit with which we carry out His will has to be correct. Otherwise, I can be right and you can be wrong and I'll let you know it. You see, the Spirit that you have can either be a fragrance or an odor. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it can be a fragrance where people, man, I just love that person's spirit. Same thing, an odor. Same thing. You carry out same thing, but with a different spirit. About a week ago, I had this beautiful, pungent pua kini kini lay on at the office, and people within 20 yards would go, man, who smells good? Raise my hand. And not only do I smell good, everybody else smells good too. And that's a fragrance of someone's spirit. That's just they do things well. On the other hand, what if I had two dead mongoose hanging on my neck? Phew, the whole world will stink. But you see, that's what the Bible is talking about. If we're going to be problem solvers, we've got to be filled with, inundated by, permeated with the Spirit of God. What does that mean? You do what Jesus would do with His Spirit. Often we do what Jesus would do, but we put our spirit to it. And so just doing what Jesus did does not mean it's going to bring life. I know a lot of people that'll do, they think what they're doing what Jesus would do. But they do it with a human spirit. And the letter kills. But His Spirit attached to what you do brings what? Life. So you correct things, but you do it correctly with the right spirit. And that's what God is looking for, that people who will be making things right will be doing it with His Spirit. Because you can be telling people the right thing, even correcting people correctly, but with the wrong spirit, and it kills. About 2 years ago, I came back from a Wednesday night service, and I was going up this road over here, and there was a detour sign, and I saw a tractor further down. So I thought I was going to detour around him. So I kept driving, but slowly. And this policeman jumped out in the road from nowhere. It was at night. And he waved at me. And he walked up and he said, didn't you see the detour sign? I said, yeah, I did. I'm looking for the detour. He said, detour, detour, detour. And he poked towards this one lane. And I said, well, I didn't know. He said, have you been drinking? I said, no, actually, I just came from church. So get up there. Go up there. You'll cause an accident. And you know, I felt about that big. And I drove up there and I thought, you know, Lord, he told me the direction. He gave me the regulation. He gave me instruction. But His Spirit was so... Now, this is not stereotypical of all policemen. They're usually outstanding people. Just this one. But he did it with... I've got to make these asides, you know. And because I saw a couple of policemen I know here... Wasn't you, brother, wasn't you. But you know, he did what he was supposed to do. But can you understand the spirit with which we do it is probably more important than almost what we do? Because just the letter alone, did he give me the direction? Yes, but the letter alone can kill. It is the spirit that giveth life. And that's exactly what the Lord is saying, is if we're going to make things right in our families, in our marriages, it's got to be done in a way that the Spirit of God gives life.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Making Things Right by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
Hi, this is Pastor Wayne Cordero, and on behalf of the students and faculty of New Hope Christian College, I want to personally invite you to join us for Christmas on the Hill. That's right, it's happening Friday, November 30th at 7 p.m. in our chapel right here on the campus in Eugene, just above Churchill High School. The program will feature old and new holiday favorites presented by our fabulous creative arts students and staff. Now, seating is limited, and admission is only a suggested $5 donation. So come, join us for Christmas on the Hill, a new holiday tradition at New Hope Christian College. For more information, you can go to newhope.edu. Come and enjoy Christmas on the Hill.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.